decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It's Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. Glad to have you here with us on this Wednesday morning, the last live show this week. Tomorrow and Friday will be pre-recorded, and again, as I mentioned yesterday, Friday will be a double reading day to make up for me not being here on Monday, so we can keep on track, as with the entire Bible, in the Legacy Standard Bible this year. So we'll get that all caught up. That'll be good. Let's see what else. Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that's primarily dedicated to the public reading of scriptures and secondarily to my thoughts on various topics. And I got a few topics I want, aren't actually pleasant, but they need. Also, Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there that are ready for your earbuds. All right, let's get started today. We've got scripture reading. Our scriptures today are 2 Samuel 15 through 17, Psalm 3, Psalm 63, and Romans 1. And that is our reading for today. Like I said, I got a couple of three topics I want to bring up briefly. Not going to be in depth. You can get in depth discussions of them elsewhere, but they do need to be mentioned, some opinions. So let's begin with our prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it happened afterwards that Absalom prepared for himself a chariot and horses and 50 men as runners before him. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. And when any man had a case to come to the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, "From what city are you?" And he would say, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "See, your words are good and right, but no man listens to you on the part of the king." Then Absalom would say, "Oh, that one would appoint me judge in that land. Then every man who has any case or judgment would come to me, and I would justify him." And when a man came near to prostrate himself before him, he would stretch out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. In this manner Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it happened at the end of 40 years that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to Yahweh in Hebron. For your servant vowed a vow while I was living in Geshur and Aram, saying, 'If Yahweh shall indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve Yahweh.' And the king said to him, 'Go in peace.' So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron.' Now 200 men went with Absalom from Jerusalem, who were invited and went innocently, and they did not know anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gileonite, David's counselor, from his city of Gilo, while he was offering the sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Then an informant came to David, saying, 'The heart of the men of Israel have followed Absalom.' So David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, for otherwise there will be no escape from us from Absalom. Go in haste, lest he overtake us hastily and drive calamity on us, and strike the city with the edge of the sword. Then the king's servant said to the king, Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever the Lord King chooses. So the king went out, and all his household with him. But the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. And the king went out, and all the people with him, and they stopped at the last house. Now all his servants passed on beside him, all the Kerethites, all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had come with him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, Why will you also go with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile. Return to your own place. You came only yesterday. And shall I today make you wander with us, going about, while I go where I go? Return and cause your brothers to return. Loving kindness and truth be with you. But Ittai answered the king and said, As Yahweh lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be. So David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. So Ittai the Gittite passed over with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. While all the country was weeping with a loud voice, all the people passed over. The king also passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Now behold, Zadok also came, and all the Levites with him, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar came up with all the people who had, until all the people had finished passing from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, Return the Ark of God to the city. If I find favor in the sight of Yahweh, then he will cause me to return and show me both it and its habitation. But if he should say thus, I have no delight in you, behold, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good in his sight. The king said also to Zadok the priest, Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, your sons Amaaz and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I am going to wait at the fords of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. So Zadok and Abiathar returned the Ark of the God to Jerusalem and remained there. But David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went, and his head was covered, and he was walking barefoot. And all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up weeping as they went. Now David informed them, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Yahweh, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. Then it happened that as David was coming to the summit, where he used to worship God, that behold, Hushai the Archite met with him with his coat torn and dust on his head. And David said to him, If you pass over with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be with your servant, O king, as I have been with your father's servant in time past, so I will now be your servant. Then you can thwart the counsel of Ahithophel for me. Are not Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? So it shall be that whether you hear from the king's house, you shall inform Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, their two sons are with them there, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by their hand you shall send me everything that you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Chapter 16. Now David had passed a little beyond the summit, and behold, Ziba, the young man of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a jug of wine. And the king said to Ziba, Why do you have these things? And Ziba said, The donkeys are for the king's household to ride, and the bread and the summer fruit are for the young men to eat, and the wine for whoever is faint in the wilderness to drink. Then the king said, And where is your master's son? And Ziba said to the king, Behold, he is staying in Jerusalem. For he said, Today the house of Israel will return the kingdom of my father to me. So the king said to Ziba, Behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Ziba said, I prostrate myself. Let me find favor in your sight, O my lord the king. And King David came to Bahurim. And behold, there came out from there a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. He also threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. And thus Shammai said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed and vile fellow. Yahweh has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And Yahweh has given the kingdom in the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me pass over now and remove his head. But the king said, what have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if Yahweh has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son who came forth from my body seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for Yahweh has told him. Perhaps Yahweh will look upon my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. So David and his men went on the way, and Shammai went along on the hillside parallel with him, and as he went he cursed and cast stones and threw dust at him. Then the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. Now Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, had entered Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it happened that when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loving kindness to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? Then Hushai said to Absalom, no, for whom Yahweh, this people and all the men of Israel have chosen, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Besides, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so I will be in your presence. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give your advice, what shall we do? And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself odious to your father. The hands of all who are with you will also be strengthened. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if one had asked the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel regarded by both David and Absalom. Chapter 17. Then Ahithophel said to Absalom, please let me choose 12,000 men, that I may arise and pursue David tonight. And I will come upon him while he is weary with his hands falling limp, and throw him into utter fright, so that all the people who are with him will flee. Then I will strike down the king alone, and I will cause all the people to return to you. The return of everyone depends on the man you seek. Then all the people will be at peace. And the word was right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what is also in his mouth. Then Hushai came to Absalom, and Absalom spoke to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken thus. Shall we carry out his word? If not, you speak. And Hushai said to Absalom, this time the counsel of Ahithophel has counseled is not good. Then Hushai said, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are bitter of soul, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war, and will not spend the night with his people. Behold, he has now hidden himself in one of the caves or in another place, and it will be when he falls on them at the first attack that whoever hears it will say, there has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. And even the one who is a man of valor, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will utterly melt. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are men of valor. But I counsel that all Israel be utterly gathered to you, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea in abundance, and that you personally go into battle. So we shall come to him in one of the places where he can be found, and we will set down on him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and all the men who are with him, not even one will be left. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel shall carry ropes to that city, and we will drag it into the valley until not even a small stone is found there. Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For Yahweh had ordained to thwart the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that Yahweh might bring calamity on Absalom. Then Hushai said to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, This is what Ahithophel counseled Absalom and the elders of Israel, and this is what I have counseled. So now send quickly and inform David, saying, Do not spend the night at the fords of the wilderness, but by all means cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz were staying in En-Rogel, and a servant woman would go and inform them, King David, for they could not be seen entering the city. But a boy did see them and informed Absalom. So the two of them went quickly and came to the house of a man in Bahurim, who had a well in his courtyard, and they went down into it. And the woman took a covering and spread it over the well's mouth and scattered crushed grain on it, so that nothing was known. Then Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house and said, Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said to them, They have crossed the brook of water. And when they searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now it happened, after they went away, that they came up out of the well and went and informed King David. And they said to David, Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus Ahithophel has counseled against you. Then David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed the Jordan. And by dawn, not even one remained who had not crossed the Jordan. Now Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed. So he saddled his donkey and arose and went to his home, to his city, and set his house in order, and strangled himself. Thus he died and was buried in the grave of his father. Now David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom set Amasa over the army in place of Joab. Now Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Ithra the Israelite, who went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. And Israel and Absalom camped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened, when David had come to Mahanaim, Shobi, the son of Nahash, from Reba of the sons of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo-Debar, and Barzillai, the Gileite, from Rogillim, brought beds, basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, roasted grain, beans, lentils, roasted seeds, honey, curds, sheep, and cheese of the herd, for David and all the people who were with him to eat. For they said, The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Psalm 3. A Psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom his son. O Yahweh, how my adversaries have become many. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, There is no salvation for him in God, Selah. But you, O Yahweh, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was calling to Yahweh with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. I lay down and slept, I awoke, for Yahweh sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people, who all around have set themselves against me. Arise, O Yahweh, and save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to Yahweh. Your blessing be upon your people. Selah. A Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land without water. Thus I have beheld you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will laud you. Thus I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with fatness and richness, and my mouth offers praises with lips of joyful songs. When I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a portion for foxes. But the king will be glad in God. Everyone who swears by him will boast. For the mouths of those who speak lies will be closed. Now Romans chapter 1. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, having been set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated as the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we receive grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how without ceasing I make mention of you, always in my prayers, earnestly asking if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you and that you may be strengthened, that is, to be mutually encouraged while among you by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. In this way, for my part, I am eager to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous will live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the likeness of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them over to dishonorable passions. For their females exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the males abandoned the natural function of the female, and burned in their desire one toward one another, males with males, committing indecent acts, and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to an unfit mind, to do those things which are not proper, having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, violent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the righteous requirement of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The Word of God, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. So I said I got three topics I want to talk about, and I'm going to take them not necessarily in order of occurrence, but in order of priority. And the top of the list is the shooting at the elementary school in Texas. When I got up this morning, the latest body count is 19 students dead. These are 9 and 10-year-old children, second, third, and fourth graders. So everybody, like 8 to plus 2 teachers killed. Apparently, the gunman also shot his grandmother before entering the school. And one report I read this morning said he ran into the school while being pursued by law enforcement. What do we say about a tragedy like? We've been talking about God's providence. We've been talking about the fact that everything that happens is by God's decree and guided by his providence. But God not being the author of sin and God being without evil, what man intends for evil, God intends for good. And so we can be assured that there is a good purpose in this, allowing this. But it doesn't mean that this was good. It wasn't. It's horrible. Enraging. I'm in a much smaller town than this town in Texas, and our elementary school is completely locked down. The only people that get in are employees who have the door code and visitors who have to go through the office, legit visitors. Nobody just walks in off the street. And we have provisions in place for active shooters. We know exactly what to do at the school. Every employee has been in. Sadly, qualified adults are not allowed to be. I have one employee who is authorized to carry, and he's retired law enforcement. We have, or actually said, is authorized. We have more people that are qualified but are not authorized. And as Wayne LaPierre famously said years ago, the only thing to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Indeed, that's exactly what happened. And a Border Patrol agent nearby killed the shooter and ended. And we don't know why this 18-year-old decided to do all sorts of speculation 48 hours or more before really any of the picture truly material. And I think that's a problem of our 24-hour news cycle these days, is we expect to know everything right now. It takes a while to know. Even then, we're not going to, as you may recall, a couple of Idaho Falls with the family of my, for 4 years he'd been. And late at night, I was talking to my friend, and I asked him what precipitated the catalyst was. Do we have any idea of what upset him that he thought taking his life was a viable option? And I was told we got a lot of speculation, but they couldn't put their finger on him to have led to. My friend, who is a retired police, said something very profound that has stuck with me. He said, you cannot rational the irrational. When someone does something irrational, you can't rationalize it because it's irrational. You can't make sense of it. And it's frustrating to try. And so that's kind of what we're looking at here in Texas. All we know is what the scripture said. The intent of man's heart is evil. And the only thing that keeps all of us from doing things like this or worse is God's restraining power in our life. God doesn't have to make anybody do anything wrong. If God's purposes require someone to sin, God's good purposes, remember what man intends for evil, God intends for good. And we've been talking about this on Thursdays as we go through the providence of God. And yeah, that's a tough thought. It really is. But God doesn't have to make anybody do anything. If God's purposes require evil acts of men, all God has to do is lift his restraint. And the man will, according to the evil intent of his own heart. So we are heartbroken for the families in Texas. I've been, you know, yesterday afternoon when I got the news, I was just sitting here stunned, not understanding why somebody could go shoot a 10-year-old. And not only one, 19 of them. 19 children and two. Some of the victims are starting to be identified. I was looking. It's just heartbreaking that these little kids aren't going to be coming home. They're not going to be hanging out with their families anymore. Just horrible. And so that's really all I have to say about that right now. I thought about commenting immediately. The Democrats jumped on this reason to push their gun control laws, et cetera, et cetera. It's not, you know, trust me, the weapon is not the thing. It's the heart. Now's not the time. I will say that I am fairly confident of two things. This shooter had prior run-ins with, I don't know this for a fact. I haven't seen anything, but it's going to come out that they knew this guy. They had problems with him. Why was he still? That just seems to be the pattern. Whenever there's one of these shootings, it's like, oh yeah, we knew he was a crazy loon. We just never locked him up. So I'm, you know, he will have been known. The second thing is, this shooter was not a member of the National Rifle Association or of gun owners. So to blame the law-abiding gun owners for the actions of somebody who has no connection to them. But we have grieving families and pray for God's comfort for the pastors and the Christians that they will be. All right, that's topic one. Topic two that I want to discuss is the report on the sexual abuse. Now, I was raised in the South. I pastored a Southern Baptist church. This disgusts me. The cover-up that's been exposed, the fact that sexual abusers were not turned to law enforcement, that indeed victims were persuaded to be quiet about sexual abuse, the fact that there's even an accusation against a former president of the SBC of sexual assault. Folks, the qualifications for ministry that are found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 are not optional. They're not good ideas. Churches need to be diligent in applying those standards. And there's nothing there in those standards about tall, good-looking, persuasive, any of that. It's all about character. Must be moral, must be upright, must be trustworthy. All of those characteristics are moral qualifications, not some sort of business model CEO qualification. They do have to be able to teach. That is the only ability qualification given there. But the rest of it is all moral. So again, as we look at the lead of the Southern Baptist Convention and we look at the things that have taken place there, the convention coming up in Anaheim next month will be telling. I do not know if the Southern Baptist Convention, I'm of the opinion that it needs to be done. Now, I say that knowing that every church in the S is independent. So the churches will continue on, but the SBC as a whole, I think its time is done. And I think that might get back to local Baptists, get back to smaller. When I was reading the report, and I read all 288 pages painfully, and I'm not going to reiterate everything that I read. It's available on to it. I'll link it in the show notes. Quite sad, the cover-up. And it's good old boy network. It appears to be covering up malfeasance for the purpose of retaining political power, political and financial power. Remember, the Southern Baptist Convention has a membership of millions of people, which gives leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention a certain amount of pull outside of the convention. Why else would, you know, in 2018, that was the last Southern Baptist, that was actually the only Southern Baptist. At that convention, the Vice President of the United States came and spoke, and that's not going to happen to some little association of Baptist churches in Indiana, unless there's some sort of personal connection with some pastor in the and went to college with them. You might get the vice president to come speak to you in a case like that. But something like what happened in Dallas, where the vice president asked to come to, he wasn't invited, he asked to come. And so, you know, that's not going to happen to a small organization, but that's okay, because having the vice president speak to the convention is not the be-all and end-all. You know, the purpose of the convention is to spread the gospel and to strengthen local churches. And it's become much different than, and I personally agree that has not been the priority of the Southern Baptist Convention for decades. So it's in bad shape. So let's see what happens in Anaheim. Let's see who gets elected president of the, is it somebody who's going to be business as usual, or is it somebody who's going to try to clean things up? And if it is somebody who's trying to clean things up, is he going to be allowed to do, thinking back to President Trump in Washington, he was prevented by members of his own party from doing a lot of the things that he had promised to do and a lot of the things. And so the swamp didn't get drained, and we're seeing the results of that. And the reason the swamp didn't get drained is there are people from both parties who like swimming, don't want their to be exposed. They flee from the light because their deeds are evil. True in the SBC. So we'll have to see what happens. I mean, we've got the SBC is big enough that it has a big bureaucracy. So it has a deep state, just like the federal government has a deep. And that deep state is hard to eradicate. And it takes a long time of concerted effort to eliminate weeds from a property. It's going to take a long time of concerted effort root out deep state that has been causing the issue. And so I'm thinking torpedo the thing. Third thing is actually a little bit more on a lighter topic, kind of a lighter topic. All right, apparently there are globally about 100 or so cases of monkeypox that have been identified. They have been traced back, my understanding, to two rave parties in Europe, and it seems to be transmitted primarily by homosexuals. Yet, the same health organizations that tried to gin up a panic over COVID-19 are now trying to push a panic over monkeypox. It's not airborne. It's not highly contagious. It's, like I said, seems to be transmitted primarily through sexual contact and primarily. And because of that, England is doing 21-day quarantines for anybody who's come in contact with somebody with monkeypox. Now, that's just contact. That's not sexual contact. Chances of somebody having monkeypox from casual contact with somebody are entirely nil. It's not this huge global pandemic. In fact, it's not the kind of virus that can cause a global, from what I've read. And I will tell you, I have exactly the same medical degree. So you should listen to me when I talk about these. So, yeah. The don't get panicked about monkeypox. You don't have to vaccinate. You don't have to do all this stuff. I was listening to yesterday's Ken Matthews show, and he pointed out something very, very interesting. He read the CDC's numbers on the number of people, because monkeypox is closely related to smallpox, and smallpox vaccine actually prevents monkeypox. And I'm over 55, so I received smallpox vaccine, and I think that's one of the ones that has that they've cut back on vaccinating. But when I was a little kid, we all got them. He read these statistics that in the last 10 years, I believe, there were zero deaths from smallpox and zero injuries from smallpox. But death and or injury from the smallpox vaccine exceeded 5,000 people. Just throwing that out there. Think about that. All right. Well, like I said, tomorrow will be a pre-recorded Theology Thursday as we continue to look at the 1689 London Baptist Confession. Friday will be a pre-recorded double reading day to get us caught up on our Bible reading. And then Monday, I should be back here live. Best as I know. Lord willing. Do be in prayer for the families in Uvalde, Texas. Such a tragedy. Pray for God's purposes to be accomplished in it. It didn't just happen. God does have a good purpose in it, but man's purposes were evil. We can't try the young man who shot all these people. Young man. We can't try the murderous scum who shot all these people. He is dead, but don't think that justice wasn't done. Yesterday, when that Border Patrol gun agent gunned him down, that young man found himself standing before his Creator and giving an answer for what he had done. He will face eternal justice. Do not fear. Justice will, you go back and you watch those old Western movies and somebody's getting ready to have a gunfight and prepare to meet your maker. There's so much truth in that. That's what happened to the man. He had to stand, as will we all. And the only escape from the wrath of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please, I urge you, repent and believe. All right, have a great Wednesday. Remember, please, to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.